Hello, my name is Jayama, and you're listening to Unpurified, the Ramblings of a Black Queer Christian. For today's episode of the podcast, I wanted to talk about the thousand-year reign. And if you have been keeping track, if you've been keeping up with my podcast episodes, you know that I have been studying Revelation to figure out what is going on in the end times timeline, prophetically. I have finally gotten to the thousand-year reign. And when I first looked at it, I was like, I'm going to leave this alone because I feel like I didn't think that there was scripture in any part, any other part of the Bible except in Revelation about that. But after meditating on it, talking to God about it, I found some scripture, I looked up some sermons, and I looked up some people's dreams that they had about it, and I feel as though I have finally fully encapsulated the energy, I don't even know what I'm saying. Fully captured what's gonna go down. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I know what's gonna happen now. So, let's get into that. Yeah. All right. So before I get into the scripture, because you all know that I don't say anything without scripture, to give a brief summary about what the thousand-year reign the thousand-year reign is a actual literal physical reign where after the tribulation happens and the day of the Lord happens, when Jesus comes back to fight against the Antichrist and the false prophet, he will be bringing him and everyone who is in heaven to the earth so that Jesus will reign over the earth for 1,000 years. So when it's when it's talking about like 1,000-year reign, it is a literal 1,000-year period where Jesus will reign on the earth, like a physical, like he will have a physical kingdom on the earth for 1,000 years. So that is a brief explanation of what this is. But, as y'all know that I can do, I have compiled much scripture to get into the nitty-gritty descriptions of everything that is going to happen during the thousand-year reign. So, yeah, let's go and, talk about that. Okay. Alrighty, friends. So, the first characteristic that I found is that the survivors of the tribulation will be on the earth during the thousand-year reign. And you can see that in Matthew 24, verse 22. And that says, "But God has already reduced the number of days. Had he not done so, nobody would survive. For the sake of his chosen people, however, God will reduce the days," and that's referring to the tribulation. You can also see that in Isaiah 4, 2 through 3, and that says, "The time is coming when the Lord will make every plant and tree in the land grow large and beautiful. All the people of Israel who survive will take delight and pride in the crops that the land produces. Everyone who is left in Jerusalem who God has chosen for survival will be called holy." The second thing that I discovered is that glorified Christians, as in the Christians who were in heaven, will also be on the earth during the 1,000-year reign. And you can see that in Revelation 5, 9 through 10. And that says, "They sing a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to break open the seals, for you were killed, and by your sacrificial death, you brought for God people from every tribe, nation, language, and race. You have made them a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they shall rule on the earth." You can also see that in Revelation 20, verse 4, and that says, "Then I saw thrones, and those who sat on them were given the power to judge. I also saw the souls of those who had been executed because they had proclaimed the truth that Jesus revealed and the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or its image, nor had they received the mark of the beast on their forehead or their hands. They came to life and ruled as kings with Christ for 1,000 years." The third thing that I discovered is that many glorified Christians will be smaller rulers. There will be, as I said before, Jesus will be the supreme king, but many of the glorified Christians will be smaller kings, like smaller rulers over like smaller districts, like governors or mayors or I don't know, representatives, whatever. And you can see that in Revelation 20, verse 6, and that says, "Happy and blessed are those who are included in the first raising of the dead. The second death has no power over them. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and they shall rule with him for 1,000 years." You can also see that in Isaiah 32, 1. And that says, "Someday there will be a king who rules with integrity and national leaders who govern with justice." You can also see that in Jeremiah 23, verse 4. And that says, "I will appoint rulers to take care of them. My people will no longer be afraid or terrified, and I will not punish them again. I, the Lord, have spoken." You can also see that in Psalms 47, verse 3 and verse 9. And that says, "He gave us victory over the people. He made us rule over the nations. The rulers of the nations assemble with the people of the God of Abraham. More than all the armies is more powerful than all the armies is he." He rules supreme. And lastly, you can see that in Psalms 45, verse 16. And that says, "You, my king, will have many sons to succeed your ancestors as kings, and you will make them rulers over the whole earth." The fourth thing that I discovered is that there will be no people from who are in hell will be on the earth. So, like how, the Christians who have passed away and are in heaven will be on the earth, the non-Christians who have passed away and are in hell will not be there during the 1,000-year reign. And you can see that in Revelation 20, verse 5. And that says, "The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were over." And that's referring to the people who are in hell. And it says, "This is the first raising of the dead." And that was in reference to the glorified Christians who come back to the earth, is the first raising of the dead. The second raising of the dead is the people, the non-Christians who are in hell. The fifth thing that I discovered is that God will be supreme king, or Jesus, Jesus God. And you can see that in Psalm 45, 6 through 7. And that says, "The kingdom that God has given you will last forever and ever. You rule over your people with justice. You love what is right and hate what is evil. That is why God, your God, has chosen you and has poured out more happiness on you than any other king." You can also see this in Psalm 47, 8, and that says, "God sits on his sacred throne. He rules over the nations." You can also see that in Psalm 24, 8 through 10, and that says, "Who is this great king? He is the Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord victorious in battle. Fling wide the gates, open the ancient doors, and the great king will come in. Who is this great king? The triumphant Lord. He is the great king." You can also see that in Psalm 82:8, and that says, "Come, O God, and rule the world, all the nations are yours." And you can also see that in Psalms 97:1, and that says, "The Lord is king, earth be glad, rejoice you, islands of the seas." The sixth thing that I discovered is that Satan will be locked up during this time period. And so that is in Revelation 20, verse 1 through 3. And that says, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key of the abyss and a heavy chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, that is, the devil, or Satan, and chained him up for 1,000 years. The angel threw him into the abyss, locked it, and sealed it so that he could not deceive the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were over. After that, he must be set loose for a little while." The seventh thing that I discovered is that it will be a peaceful time. And you can see that in Jeremiah 23:6, and that says, "When he is king, the people of Judah will be safe, and the people of Israel will live in peace. He will be called the Lord of our salvation." You can also see that in Ezekiel 34:25-29, and that says, "I will make a covenant with them that guarantees their security. I will get rid of all the dangerous animals in the land so that my sheep can live safely in the fields and sleep in the forests. I will bless them and let them live around my sacred hill. There I will bless them with showers of rain when they need it. The trees will bear fruit, the fields will produce crops, and everyone will live in safety on his own land. When I break my people's chains and set them free from those who made them slaves, then they will know that I am the Lord. The heathen nations will not plunder them anymore, and the wild animals will not kill and eat them. They will live in safety, and no one will terrify them. I will give them fertile fields to put an end to hunger in the land. The other nations will not sneer at them anymore." You can also see that in Micah 4:3-4, and that says, "He will settle disputes among the nations, among the great powers near and far. They will hammer their swords into plows and their spears into pruning knives. Nations will never again go to war, never prepare for battle again. Everyone will live in peace among their own vineyards and fig trees, and no one will make them afraid. The Lord Almighty has promised this." You can also see that in Isaiah 9:7, and that says, "His royal power will continue to grow. His kingdom will always be at peace. He will rule as King David's successor, basing his power on right and justice from now until the end of time. The Lord Almighty is determined to do all of this." You can also see this in Isaiah 11:6-8, and that says, "Wolves and sheep will live together in peace, and leopards will lie down with young goats. Calves and lion cubs will feed together, and little children will take care of them. Cows and bears will eat together, and their calves and cubs will lie down in peace. Lions will eat straw as cattle do, and even a baby will not be harmed if it plays near a poisonous snake." And lastly, you can see this in Isaiah 65:18-19 and 21-24. And that says, "Be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. The new Jerusalem I make will be full of joy, and her people will be happy. I myself will be filled with joy because of Jerusalem and her people. There will be no weeping there, no calling for help. People will build houses and get to live in them. They will not be used by someone else. They will plant vineyards and enjoy the wine. It will not be drunk by others. Like trees, my people will live long lives. They will fully enjoy the things that they have worked for. The work they do will be successful, and their children will not be met with disaster. I will bless them and their descendants for all time to come. Even before they finish praying to me, I will answer their prayers." And the eighth thing that I discovered is that even though Satan will be locked up during this time period, there will still be evil and pain on the earth. And you can see that in Isaiah 11:4. And that says, he will judge the poor fairly and defend the rights of the helpless. At his command, the people will be punished and evil persons will die. You can also see that in Isaiah 65:20. And that says, babies will no longer die in infancy and all people will live out their lifespan. Those who live to be 100 will be considered young. To die before them will be a sign that I punished them. And these, you know what I'm saying, punishment to evil people is giving the implication that evil will still be there on the earth. And before I move on, I would like to give a brief explanation because I think I may do a full sermon on this. But I will give you a brief explanation how there can still be evil even when Satan is locked up during this time period. I know that I feel like there's a common narrative being pushed even by the church, like by the church and by a lot of people, that Satan is typically seen as being the source of all evil. Like, people see God as being the source of all good, and they see Satan as being the source of all evil. But this is not true, okay? He is not the source of anything. He is not the source of anything. It is literally a tactic of the enemy to make himself seem like he is like God, when he is not. Everyone in all of creation has the propensity to be evil without the help of Satan. Satan is not the source of evil, and he does not have to be present or around for evil to still exist, because everyone in all of creation has the propensity to be evil within them. Granted, Satan loves to speak in people's ears, but like how I said in many of my things, there is nothing that Satan can force you to do. When people are evil, Satan is speaking into the evil that already resides within that person. It's your evil and his evil coming into agreement, coming into alignment, to then commit a sin. So you have to have something within you that is also agreeing, because he cannot force you to do anything. He is not the source of evil. You have the evil within you. He has evil within him. He's trying to get you to unlock that, to tap into that evil, to get you to do something. But he is not the source of evil. We kind of all are. It is amongst all of us. The ninth thing that I discovered is that God will rule with justice against the evil that resides in the land. And you can see that in Psalms 48:10-11. And that says, you are praised by people everywhere, and your fame extends all over the earth. You rule with justice. Let the people of Zion be glad. You give right judgments. Let there be joy in the cities of Judah. You can also see that in Psalms 96:10-13. And that says, say to all the nations, the Lord is king. The earth is set firmly in place. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with justice. When the Lord comes to rule the earth, he will rule the peoples of the world with justice and fairness. You can also see that in Psalms 98:9, and that says, because he comes to rule the earth, he will rule the people of the world with justice and fairness. And you can also see that in Psalms 99:4, and that says, mighty king, you love what is right, you have established justice in Israel, and you have brought righteousness and fairness. And the next thing, tenth thing, that I found is that God will protect us during this time. And you can see that in Psalms 48, 3 and 8. And that says, God has shown that there is safety with him inside the fortress of the city. We have heard what God has done, and now we have seen it in the city of our God. The Lord Almighty, he will keep the city safe forever. You can also see that in Ezekiel 34, 30. And that says, everyone will know that I protect Israel and that they are my people. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken. You can also see that in Isaiah 4, 5 through 6. And that says, then over Mount Zion and over all who are gathered there, the Lord will send a cloud in the daytime and smoke in a bright flame at night. God's glory will cover and protect the whole city. His glory will shade the city from the heat of the day and make it a place of safety, sheltered from the rain and storm. And you can also see that in Isaiah 33, 20 and 22. And that says, instead, you will see Zion as a place of holy festivals. You will see Jerusalem, a city quiet and secure. It will be like a tent whose ropes are taut and whose stakes are firmly fixed. For the Lord is our judge, our lawgiver, and our king. He will care for us and save us. The next thing that I discovered is that the humans that are not glorified, the survivors of the tribulation, will have longer lifespans. And you can see that in Isaiah 33, 24. And that says, no one who lives in our land will ever again complain of being sick, and all sins will be forgiven. And then you can also see that in Isaiah 65, verse 20 and 22. And that says, no longer will babies die when they are only a few days old. No longer will adults die before they have lived a full life. No longer will people be considered old at 100. Only the cursed will die that young. Unlike the past, invaders will not take their houses and confiscate their vineyards. For my people will live as long as trees, and my chosen ones will have time to enjoy their hard-won gains. The 12th thing that I have discovered is that Satan will be released after 1,000 years. And you can see that in Revelation 27. And that says, after the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be set loose from his prison. And the next thing that I found is that when Satan is let loose from the prison, he will go out and deceive the people and start a rebellion against God. And you can see that in Revelation 27 through 8. And that says, when the 1,000 years come to an end, Satan will be let out of his prison. He will go out to deceive the nations called Gog and Magog in every corner of the earth. He will gather them together for battle, a mighty army as numberless as sands along the seashore. You can also see that in Psalms 2, 1 through 5, and that says, why are the nations so angry? Why do they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepare for battle. The rulers plot against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they cry, and free ourselves from slavery to God. But the one who rules in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at him. Then in anger he rebukes them, terrifying them with his fierce fury. And you can also see that in Psalms 48:4, and that says, the kings of the earth joined forces and advanced against the city. But the next thing that I found, there will be, you know what I'm saying, there will be a rebellion, but all of the people who rebel against God will be destroyed by fire. And that is a literal thing, not in the sense of being cast into hell. They will quite literally be destroyed by fire. And you can see that in Revelation 29. And that says, and then I saw them as they went up to the broad plain of the earth and surrounded God's people and the beloved city. But fire from heaven came down and attacked. Wait, fire from heaven came down on the attacking armies and consumed them. You can also see that in Isaiah 9:5, and that says, the boots of the invading army and all their bloodstains clothing will be destroyed by fire. You can also see that in Psalms 97:3, and that says, fire goes in front of him and burns up his enemies around him. So it is going to be literal fire. Not a metaphor for hell. It will be literal fire that will destroy the girlies who rebel. The next thing that I discovered is that Satan will be thrown into the lake of fire forever for all that he has done on the earth. And you can see that in Revelation 20, verse 10. And that says, "Then the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had already been thrown, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." And the next thing that I discovered is that people will praise God for what he has done. And you can see that in Psalm 96, 1 through 3. And that says, "Sing a new song to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, all the world. Sing to the Lord and praise him. Proclaim every day the good news that he has saved us. Proclaim his glory to the nations, his mighty deeds to all peoples." And the 17th thing that I discovered is that this 1,000-year reign is is something that God wanted to do with the Israelites like super early in the Bible, but they ended up rejecting him. So the 1,000-year reign is him actually doing what he wanted to do with them in the beginning. And so you can see that in 1 Samuel 8, 4 through 8. And that says, "Then all the leaders of Israel met together, went to Samuel in Ramah and said to him, 'Look, you are getting old.'" "And your sons don't follow your example. So then appoint a king to rule over us, so that we will have a king as other countries have." Samuel was displeased with their request for a king, so he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said, "Listen to everything the people say to you. You are not the one they have rejected. I am the one they have rejected as their king. Ever since I brought them out of Egypt, they have turned away from me and worshiped other gods, and now they are doing to you what they have always done to me." So I didn't realize that they like dragged him a little, but that is the proof that this was something that God had wanted to do from jump. But yeah, that my friends is everything that I have discovered about the 1,000-year reign. It will be a time of peace. The evil, I mean, you know, I feel like it won't be as heavy because it'll be a peaceful time. God will rule. He'll rule with justice. He'll rule with fairness. So, you know, it'll be pretty good. So, yeah, that is everything that I have discovered about the millennial reign. So, yeah, if you made it all the way to the end of the podcast episode, thank you for listening, and I will see you in the next one. Thank you for making it all the way to the end of the podcast. If you would like to find me online, I'm on Instagram at The Bible Is Inclusive, and I'm on Twitter at Bible Inclusive. I also have a book. It's called Who Told You That God Was Homophobic? And that's available in paperback and ebook. And that's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple Books, Kobo, Scribd, and other retailers. And if you would like to visit my website is called TheBibleIsInclusive.com. And that is the host of my blog. And I make many posts on there about, like, you know, the spiritual things that I have found out
I tend to be more active on the blog than I am on my podcast. So I recommend that you subscribe to my website so that you can get updates every time I post on there because, she posts on there more frequently. And if you would like to become a Christian, you can figure that out on my website as well. You can go to the menu. There's a tab and it says, how to become a Christian, and it'll show you the prayer that you can pray in order to become a Christian if you would like to. And also, you don't have to, you're not forced into this, but if you would like to donate to me, you can also go to my website and there is a tab on there that says donate, and you can put in, however much money you would like. They have a single, like one-time donations, and they also, I think they have recurring donations on there too. So you can, do it however you want, and you'll be able to donate to me. And yeah, thank you again for making it all the way to the end of the podcast, and I'll see y'all in the next one.